Welcome to another teaching edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. I am so happy to be able to do this podcast because we've just come out with a new edition of the Christian Research Journal. I've been doing a number of teaching videos based on this special edition of the Christian Research Journal that's titled A Biblical Response to Christian Zionism. I also wrote a book called The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. But in today's special teaching edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast, I want to talk about the heart of Christian Zionism. Now, I've gone about this in a number of different ways in previous podcasts, but I want to emphasize in this teaching edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast the salient fact that God, according to the heart of Christian Zionism, God has two distinct people. One of those distinct people must be raptured before God can continue his plan for the other. And his plan for the other involves a mighty Holocaust. So the idea is Christians get raptured, and the Jews, or Israel, as a second people, suffers a brutal Holocaust, much more brutal than anything they've experienced in the past. And one of the passages that is so often used to bolster this pretext, and it is a pretext, it isn't based on the text, it's based on a paradigm that's imposed on the text. But the text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I've often quoted this at funerals, where the Apostle Paul says, "Brothers, we do not want you to grieve like the rest of those who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you, we who are still alive, we're not in the grave, and are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so will be with the Lord forever. So comfort one another with these words." So in this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is saying that when Christ returns, it will be a loud command, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God. It's not going to be a secret rapture. It will be known. So this passage has nothing to do with what it's used for, has nothing to do with tribulation and with rapture, but rather it has to do with resurrection, the great and glorious hope of resurrection. And so, as such, it is a parallel passage to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. At any rate, the idea that is made popular in the present by people like Dr. David Jeremiah, and again, this is not a diatribe against him. I'm simply communicating what he is popularizing in the present. He's calling the rapture now the great disappearance, and it's not just the great disappearance of anyone, it is the great disappearance of Christians. So don't worry if things are terrible, because you're going to disappear, you're going to be raptured, and then all hell will break loose on earth. The Jewish people are going to experience the great tribulation. And this tribulation will be a period that is filled with unprecedented horrors, upheavals, persecutions, of natural disasters, of massive slaughter, and political turmoil. Now that's a mouthful, but that's precisely what popular televangelists and preachers today are telling their congregations. Now, I've said it many times, the fact that it's popular doesn't mean that it's true. We ought to examine this carefully. And I think the first thing in examining this carefully means that we go back to the 19th century. In fact, back to 1831. This is the same year, by the way, that Charles Darwin leaves England and he sails into evolutionary infamy. He's aboard the HMS Beagle. And at that same time, there's another 19th century dogma. And this dogma, like evolution, has profound consequences for the history of humanity. And both are birthed in the British Isles. So in 1831, John Nelson Darby, I characterize him, I think correctly, as a disillusioned priest who leaves the Church of England and joins a separatist millenarian group that is called the Plymouth Brethren, and that in the English city of Plymouth. Now, in general, John Nelson Darby accepted the premillennial perspective of the Brethren movement. But like Darwin, Darby was a trendsetter. In much the same way that Darwin imposed a speculative spin on the scientific data that he encountered along the South American coast, Darby imposed a subjective spin on the scriptural data that he encountered in the city of Plymouth. So here's what he contends. God has two distinct people with two distinct plans and two distinct destinies. And only one of those peoples, the Jews, would suffer tribulation. The other, the church, would be removed from tribulation, removed from the world in a secret coming 7 years prior to the second coming of Christ. And this distinctive twist on Scripture, and it is a twist on Scripture, would shortly come to be popularized as dispensational eschatology. So, three quick points. First, far from communicating a distinction between Israel and the church, the scriptures from beginning to end reveal that God has only ever had one chosen people purchased from every tribe and tongue and language from every nation. And as St. Paul explains, the mystery is this, that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body. Not two distinct people, but members together of one body. And shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Indeed, the precise terminology that is used to describe the children of Israel in the Old Testament is now ascribed to the church in the New Testament. Peter, he calls them a chosen people. Sound familiar? A royal priesthood. A holy nation of people belonging to God. Ultimately, this people are the one chosen people of God. And not by virtue of their genealogical relationship to Abraham, but by virtue of their genuine relationship to the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God. A second point. Just as the Old and New Testaments reveal only one chosen people, so too, they reveal only one covenant community. And while that one covenant community is physically rooted in the offspring of Abraham, the offspring of Abraham whose number would be like that the stars of heaven or the dust of the earth, it is spiritually grounded in one singular seed. And Paul makes that explicit. In his letter to the Galatians, he says, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds. By the way, that's not my paraphrase. That's the scripture. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, plural, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to give us the explanation, which is, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you are heirs according to the promise. The takeaway is simply this. The faithful remnant of Old Testament Israel and New Testament Christianity are together the one genuine seed of Abraham, and thus they are heirs according to the promise. And this remnant is not chosen on the basis of religion or race, but rather on the basis of relationship to the resurrected Redeemer. Last point. The one chosen people who form one covenant community are beautifully symbolized in the book of Romans as one cultivated olive tree. The tree symbolizes Israel. Its branches symbolize those who believe, and its root symbolizes our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Natural branches broken off, well, they represent the Jews who reject Jesus. Wild branches grafted in, they represent Gentiles who receive Jesus. And thus says St. Paul, not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. Put another way, it's not the natural children who are God's children, it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. So Jesus is that one genuine seed of Abraham, and all, whether they're Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, all clothed in Christ, constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross. Well, like Darwinian evolution, which has enormous consequences for our society today, dispensational eschatology just continues to morph and morph and morph from humble beginnings in the British Isles to what it is represented as today. And today, it's the norm. It used to be the abnormality, but now it's the norm. And those who dare question the notion of a pre-tribulational rapture that is followed by a Holy Land Holocaust in which the vast majority of Jews perish, 2/3 of them, are now shouted down as peddlers of godless heresy. And the ultimate pejorative phrase has been coined for those who deny the heart of dispensational eschatology. They are dubbed replacement theologians and are said to be guilty of spreading the message of anti-Semitism. By the way, I deal with that in another teaching series of the Hank Unplugged podcast. But they're called replacement theologians carrying Hitler's anointing in his message. In other words, the popular preachers today are warning people like myself, do not dare counter what we're saying. Because if you do, we will label you with the worst pejorative imaginable. We will ruin you. That's essentially the message that they're sending. And so one can only pray for courage to stand in the face of vilification and to do all that is permissible to see that this pseudo-eschatology, this very new pseudo-eschatology, fades into the shadowy recesses of history. I certainly hope that, with respect to the evolutionary paradigm, which has led to atrocities unthinkable, that this too will fade into the shadowy recesses of history. be dispensed with, not by might or by power, but by a proper consideration of the precious words of the biblical text. Because I can promise you, this is not something that is drawn out of the scriptures. It's something that's imposed as a paradigm on the scriptures. Once you determine your paradigm, and then your paradigm determines you, and this is what's happened in modern-day evangelical Christianity, where you have so many communicating this notion of a pre-tribulational rapture and a Holocaust for the Jews in the 21st century. There's certainly suffering for Jews, but we don't have to make up a story about what's going to happen such that it is now predetermined by the Bible that they're going to suffer the bloodiest of all Holocausts in the near future. There's no biblical precedent for the idea that God has two people. He only has one chosen community, beautifully connected by the cross. God makes no distinction between Jews and Gentiles. If you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed, and you are an heir according to the promise that Christ will return. And when he does, he will put all things to right, and you will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Thanks for tuning in to this teaching edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more. Again, check out the special edition of the journal on the web at equip.org. Get your copy as you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And please, if you enjoy, if you're equipped, just subscribe, rate, and review, because it helps a lot. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.